Bob Bertog, the president of the Bertog Landscape Company. Hi, Bob. Welcome back.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. So is my lawn. So are my plants.
Excellent.
I got this vine that we planted on a trellis in the fall, and that thing's probably grown 2 feet tall in the last 3 weeks.
Is it a climbing on the brick type of vine?
It's climbing on the metal of a trellis, like it's like a walkway you go underneath, and
Oh, nice.
Climbing up on both sides. I don't know if it's that particular kind of vine or just the warm and wet weather we've had, but those things are going crazy.
Everything's starting to really pop right now.
Any advice for us? Let's start with our lawns. What should I be doing out there?
Well, this is the time of year you want to be raking it up and get the winter debris off of it. And it actually kind of stimulates the growth of the crown of the plant to, you know, like kind of wake it up. And then you just clean up the excess thatch and the debris. And then this is the time to be putting out fertilizer. Your first application should include pre-emergent crabgrass control, unless, of course, you plan on doing some top dressing and overseeding. Because if you use that type of herbicide, it not only prevents the crabgrass from germinating, it also prevents your good grass seed from germinating. So if you're going to top dress and overseed, you want to just use a nice starter fertilizer, which will be labeled as such at the garden center.
I sprayed some weed and feed on my yard over the weekend because I thought you liked the liquid version of it better.
I do like the weed part of it, the liquid version, but actually for fertilizer, I prefer granular. Takes longer for it to break down, and it's a longer feeding.
Maybe two separate applications of two separate products. So do the crabgrass stuff now as a liquid, okay, go ahead.
The crabgrass goes down, actually, it's a preventative, and it's a granular, so it sits on the seed, and as the seeds try to germinate, the herbicide kills them as they germinate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I need you to give me the order of events now. So what should I do, like, this weekend? What should we do today?
You use it's a fertilizer / preventative weed control combination product. It's a granular product, and it'll say pre-emergent crabgrass control, and then it also has fertilizer, so it's your initial feeding. And then if you want to go after the dandelions, you can, because they're thriving right now, you can hit those with a liquid herbicide.
Oh, really? Two different products to put down like that? Well, I sure hope Lisa Dent isn't listening right now. I just walked by her in the hall, and she doesn't like killing the dandelions. She wants the dandelions to grow tall and free. And
I'm sure there's going to be some golf course superintendents that will disagree with that.
But. Yeah, right. Well, maybe if I live next to a golf course, or if I were a golf course, I'd feel differently about it. But if I just live in a neighborhood, you got all these little yellow flowers popping up, and then they'll get those white heads. And I agree with what my friend Steve Bertrand said the other day. They're lovely, and I don't mind them so much, except they're so broad that the leaves cut off the grass around them. So it's not just that you have dandelions, it's that you don't have a lawn. Do you see what I'm saying?
That's right. It's a catch-22. There are some people that actually propagate dandelions and use it in their salads.
Well, I'm not one of them. Okay.
I'm not either.
Here's some phone calls. 312-981-7200. We'll start with Helen. What can we do for you, Helen? You're on with Bob.
Hi. I have a ground cover nettle, N-E-T-T-L-E. It has overtaken everything. How do I get rid of it?
You should be able to find a herbicide. It's a selective herbicide. Nettle is a broadleaf weed, and there's plenty of herbicides out there that will take care of it. And what you're saying, it sounds like it's pretty dense, so I would put it down at the highest rate that the label says you can put it down at.
It's in between all the flowers. I'm afraid of killing the flowers.
Well, okay, now you just added a new twist to it. Yes, you have to be very careful. If it gets on the flowers and they're broadleaf flowers, it will kill them as well. It'll damage them. So you could do the old wick the glove trick and put the herbicide on a glove and just go ahead and put the herbicide just on those plants that you want to eradicate.
Right. So I hope you understand what he's talking about there, Helen. I think I do. So you get some special rubber gardening gloves and do you spray the glove, Bob? Get your fingers with the glove wet, and then you just rub it all over them weeds in between your flowers, and that way you aren't going to accidentally get it on the flowers, right?
Right. You put on a rubber glove first, and then you take one of those, like, car wax mitts that you use to wax your car.
Oh, yeah.
And you put the mitt on over your hand, over the rubber glove, and then go ahead and, it's called wicking, and then you just go ahead and...
Oh, I see. And then I spray.
Better word, you massage the weed. You spray the glove, and then you go ahead and apply it to the weed just by hand.
But then you rub it with that mitt you're talking about?
Yep. You put the herbicide on the mitt, and then you go ahead and rub the plant with the mitt, and then just make sure you clean up the glove, and then throw the plastic glove in the garbage and wash your hands well.
Bob Bertog from the Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling is on a line with us. Bob, we've answered this before, but I don't mind asking it again. This listener says they've got a lumpy, uneven lawn. What do they do about that?
You want to core aerate the turf areas, and if it's really bad, do it twice, opposite directions. And then take some top dressing mix, which is a mixture of topsoil, compost, and sand. And then go ahead and spread that out over it and just rake it into the lower divots. And then it should even it out. If you want to throw a little grass seed on top, that's not going to hurt either.
This is Lisa. You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Hi, Lisa. What can we do for you?
Hi. Last year around this time, I laid about 60 rolls of sod, and it was doing fine. I did everything that they told me to do, you know, cured the soil, did all that, turned it over, fertilized, did everything, watered twice a day. I didn't cut it for about 2 months, and when I finally did cut it, I only trimmed it, and that's what I kept doing every 2 weeks. It looked great. This year, nothing came back.
Really? All of it is brown?
There isn't even brown. There's nothing.
All right, Bob, what do you think's going on here?
Well, did you cut it shorter in the fall, or did you cut it high the whole season?
Cut it high the whole season.
So the problem is your roots never had a chance to really establish themselves because the majority of the plant up above the ground is water. And by you know, as you slowly start trimming it down to where you should be cutting it at 3 inches, the water is going to go into the roots more than it's going to stay on top. And then especially if you didn't do anything before winter, the roots were just depleted of any nutrients and moisture. So I don't know what advice they gave you on it, but you definitely wanted to mow high the first couple of times, I agree, but then you should have gradually brought the height of the grass down to 3 inches and then in the fall down to 2 inches. And then that way the plant starts storing the carbohydrates for the winter and it's going to take all the nutrients into the root zone.
Hmm.
Okay. They didn't tell me that part, so that's why I messed up.
Okay. It shouldn't be completely on you. Do you have any recourse? Like if you buy plants from a landscape company, they usually come with a year-long guarantee. Do you have any recourse here, Lisa?
I don't know. I've tried to call them, but I've never gotten an answer back from I bought it from a sod company.
Yeah.
A sod farm.
Probably not. The sod is usually not warranted. Maybe a week or 2 weeks they'll warranty it because sometimes they do cut it too short. But for the most part, they're not going to warranty it. Give it a chance, though. I'd water the heck out of it, and before you just go digging it up again, maybe try and throw a little top dressing seed over the top, because if any of those roots are still established, they might still pop up, and I'd rake up what's there, and obviously if it's dead, just rake it out of the area. But give those roots a chance. You might still find some live roots underneath there.
Lisa, good luck to you. Maybe you could call us back. We're going to go to Diana now. You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Hi.
Hi, this is Diana. Thank you so much for taking my call. Two quick questions for Bob. We live in an over 55 community, and our lawn service is offering two new services this summer. One is lawn rolling, and the other one is deep thatching. I'm not sure if I should go ahead and take on that added expense, or is that something I need to do?
The dethatching should only be done if you have excess thatch, which means you have to actually take a sample of the profile of the turf and the soil, and if it's more than a half an inch of thatch, then it's okay to dethatch. Up to a half an inch is actually good for the grass. It protects the crown of the plant. And rolling your lawn should only be done in an absolute worst case. You'd much rather see you core aerify to try and level out the lawn. Rolling it actually makes it worse. and then you're increasing compaction, which is not good for the roots.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. Bob's not a big fan of rolling unless, as he said, you absolutely have to. And to measure that thatch, just get on your hands and knees, Bob, and pinch the soil there between the grass blades and see how much you got. Is that what we're talking about?
No, you want to take like a kitchen knife and or a serrated knife. It's easier actually to cut it. And cut like you're cutting a piece of pie, like a little triangle. And then just pull that triangle up, and you can see the whole profile. You can see the root zone. You can see the thatch.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
see the crown of the plant. And
got
just
it.
Look at the profile.
Judy is our last call today. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Judy.
Hi.
Hi.
I have ivy climbing up the brick of my house. And above the brick is vinyl siding. And they've grown up onto the vinyl siding. I've clipped them back, but the suckers, I think that's what they're called, that attach the ivy to the brick mm-hmm. and that have gone onto the siding also, and I can't get them off.
What do you mean you can't get them off?
Yeah, I can't pull them off. I can't scrub them off. They're really stuck on there.
Yeah, really? Like you can get to them physically, but you can't mechanically
yeah.
remove them. Well, are they still
no.
attached to the vines, though?
No, I pulled off the vines.
So you're just trying to get them off because they look bad sitting there, yeah.
Yeah, they look, exactly.
Okay, Bobby, any ideas on that?
You know, maybe just try a cleaner with a scrub brush to do it, but I want to make sure if they're cut from the live plant, they should eventually die back and lose that adhesiveness to stay on the brick or on the siding.
Yeah.
So if they were cut last fall and they shouldn't come up now, they may eventually just fall off, but I'd get up there with a scrub brush and a heavy-duty cleaner.
And maybe a teenager if you can't seem to
yeah,
do
that
it.
Too.
Sounds like elbow
right.
grease. Okay, good luck to you, Judy. Thank you for the call. And Bob, as always, thank you for your time. Please join us next week, Wednesday, about this time, okay?
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.